නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස Actually, we were discussing for several weeks about Sabhya Sutta. Sabhya Sutta is available in the Sutta Nipata and talking about a wandering ascetic meeting the Buddha and asking a series of questions. Actually, altogether there were 20 questions, and we actually have now gone through 16 questions and only 4 more questions to discuss. And probably we can start with that. And today, most probably, we can conclude the whole sutta. We basically started with Sabhya going to meet various other teachers and trying to find out answers to his questions. Actually, these questions were submitted to him by Deva, we can say a Brahma, and a kind of a friend of him who had practiced together long time ago during the Kassapa Buddha's time. And he, as a way of helping him, as a way of directing him, guiding him in the proper path, he has given these series of questions to Sabhya. So he made a request if someone is capable of answering these questions. So he is the teacher, he is the supreme teacher that you have to go forth. Under him you better start living the celibate life, and through which that you can get the full liberation. So as a result of that, Sabhya actually approached several other teachers, but they couldn't answer, and they even didn't give him chance to ask these questions. And but Buddha welcomed him and allow him to ask all the questions. Now Sabhya is asking all the questions and Buddha is answering them one after the other. So the last verse, actually the Sabhya asking from the Buddha related to the questions, goes like this. King patti namahu sottiyang ariyang kena kathancha charanavati paribhajako kinti namahoti Putto me bhagava byakarohi. So basically, there are 4 questions here. Who is the Sottiya? A learned person. And who is the Arya? The noble person. And who is the person who has done or well conducted everything? Charana, Charanava. And then who is the Paribhajaka? The proper wanderer. So these are the 4 questions Sabhya is asking. Having attained what to do, what do they call one a learned scholar? In what way is one noble and how well conducted? How does one get to be called a wanderer? When asked by me, Blessed One, please answer. Now Buddha is answering him the questions. Sutva sabba dhammanam, sutva sabba dhammam abhinyaya loke. සාවජ්ජන අනවජ්ජං යදත්ති කිංචි අබිබුං අකතං කතින් විමුත්තං අනීගං සබ්බාදි සබ්බ දිමාහු සොත්තියෝති. So basically සබ්බ ධම්මං අභිඤ්ඤාය ලෝකේ. Now අභිඤ්ඤා, now this the term අභිඤ්ඤාය is very interesting part as a direct knowledge. It is not a kind of a superficial knowledge. It is not simply a sutameyana, what we call as the simple understanding by hearing. But here one has to prepare one's mind, or one has to develop certain amount of skills. Using those skills, one has to have one's own direct knowledge. So that is why abhinya, the term abhinyayang, is the term that even for Dukkha Satcha, Buddha used the Parinyaya. So Abhinyayam, Parinyayam, all these things are related to the knowledge, and we can gather various ways, different methods are there to gather knowledge. Now here Abhinyayam means that using one's direct knowledge, one has realized. So here, Sutava Sabbadhammam Abhinyaya Loki. Savajja anavajjam yadatti kinchi. So there are good things, there are bad things, there are wholesome things, there are unwholesome things. So the world has certain amount of knowledge. So this person, what we call the Sottiya, the learned person, is someone who has fully understood those information, those knowledges through his direct knowledge. Not by superficially, by book knowledge, rather he has direct knowledge about them. Abhibung akatang kating. Now here another very interesting term, akatang kating. Akatang kating is a kind of a perplexity. There is no any perplexity in this person. Sometimes we call it as katang kati bhava. So katang kati bhava means that person is not sure about one's own path, or what is one needs to do, or what is the truth. So likewise, he has certain amount of doubts, perplexities about the path, about his practice, about the teaching. But on the other hand, akatang kating means basically he has completely overcome all those perplexities, all those doubts. Now he is quite sure about the path. He is sure about what he is doing and what he further needs to do. So that completely has removed all his doubts, perplexities, entanglements. And as a result of that, his vision is very clear. He has the proper sammāditti, the correct view. And abhibhum, so he is a conqueror. So he is actually going through in the world by overcoming all these typical good and bad. So having learned, directly known all phenomena in the world, whatever it is blameworthy, whatever it is blameless, and now he has conquered everything. And there is no any perplexities. And interestingly, vimuttang, he is completely liberated. Now vimuttang, so he has seen things directly and understood their true nature. As a result of that, there is no any attachment, there is no any grasping. So he has liberated. Aniga. So there is no any kind of trouble to him when he is wandering in the world, when he is moving along in the world. There is no any kind of trouble coming to him, because he is going through a kind of a friction-free path, frictionless path. Aniga. Sabbadi mahu sottiyoti. So then he is called a sottiya, a learned scholar, a learned person. Now, it is not mere concentration that Buddha highlights, but here we can see the wisdom aspect, how much he has highlighted. So this person, we can call him the Buddha, an arahant. So he has understood what is wholesome, what is unwholesome, through his direct knowledge, and overcome all the doubts, all the perplexities, and he is a conqueror of all the defilements. And again, he has freed his mind. He has completely liberated. And now he is moving towards the world, or simply moving within the world without any kind of friction. And he is the person who is called Sottiya. Now, Buddha is now answering the next question, who is the Arya, the noble person. Chitva asavani alayani vidvaso na upeti gabbaseyang sanyang tividang panujya pankang kappanneti tamahu aryoti. Now this is a very interesting way that Buddha introduced who is a noble person. Chitta asavani, all the influxes are cut off, and alayani, including all the attachments. So all the influxes and the attachments are all cut off. And then vidvaso na upeti gabbaseyam. Now he is a wise person, and he may not come back again to the bed of the womb. So that means there is no rebirth. And sanyang tividam panujya panka. So three kinds of perceptions, and he has dispelled, removed. And it's a kind of a maya that he has come out of. Kappan neti, and there is no any kind of mental constructs. and Tamahu Ariyoti, and he is a noble one. Now here there are very interesting, very prominent points here we can recognize. So one is the cutting off of the defilements, cutting off of the influxes, attachments. So basically Ragakkhaya, Dosakkhaya, Mohakkhaya is the utmost way of defining the Nibbana. So here we can say, so this person is a Kinasava, who has completely removed, uprooted the influxes. All the asavas are removed. So as you know, there are three levels we typically call how the defilements manifest. That is the latent level, and then the kind of the obsessive level, and ultimately the transgression level. Now, transgression level one can overcome through one's morality, precepts. And then the obsessive level one can overcome by the calming down, relaxing, removing or subsiding the hindrances by the samadhi, concentration practice, samatha. And then the asavas and the anusayas, the latent tendencies and the influxes, so that require a fair amount of wisdom practice, vipassana practice. Then only one can recognize existing defilements, existing tendencies, latent tendencies, and slowly one can sort of untangle the all these knots so that one's mind become fully liberated. Now, Chettvani Asavani Alayani, so he has completely cut off the influxes and the attachments. Vidvaso na upeti gabbasaya. Now, since there are no attachments, since there are no influxes, so the potential to reborn is cut off. Now, there is no rebirth for him. So, he is spending the last birth. Now, suppose he is an arahant, so he is spending his last birth. So, this is his final body. Kinasavo antima deha dhari. So, typically there are verses, these two words are put together. Kinasavo antima deha dhari. So, he is a kinasava, one with a completely uprooted influxes, and he is actually holding the last body. And sanyang tividam, and three kinds of sanya, the perceptions. We can categorize perceptions into three categories. The first category is the kama sanya, where actually different way of categorizations are possible for the perceptions. So one way of categorization is the three types. The kama sanya, bhava sanya, kama-sanya, rupa-sanya, arupa-sanya. So the kama-sanya is the perceptions pertaining to the sensual world. That is the, say, various perceptions related to the sights, perceptions related to the sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles, and the thoughts. And all these which are pertaining to the sensual world, we can call them as the kama-sanya. And then rupa-sanya. There are material Brahma realms, and with respect to some those material Brahma realms, there are corresponding sanya perceptions, and they are first jhana related perceptions, second jhana related perceptions, third jhana related perceptions, fourth jhana related perceptions. So likewise the rupa sanya, and then ultimately the arupa sanya, the immaterial Brahma realm related perceptions. Those are very subtle, say the boundless space, boundless consciousness, boundless or nothingness, and then neither perception, no perception. So that neva sanya, na sanya, so that related perception. So all that sensual perceptions and the form perceptions and formless perceptions, so he has completely up. So that he has overcome. So those are like a panka. Panka means a kind of a mire. So from that he has come out. And another interesting part is kappang nedi. So there is no any constructs he does on his mental level. We know that when there is a thought happens, we tend to do various constructs. Suppose there is a thought happens about the next election. then probably if you like elections, then you may be admiring it, you are expecting it, you are now thinking about various politicians, or you are thinking how you are going to vote, or who is going to win, and you are, how you are watching the TV, etc., etc. But if you are a person that who hate politics, okay, you again have certain thoughts, why these people are going to waste money and why these things are happening, blah, blah, blah. So that is happening in the other side. But it's a simply a thought occurred in the mind. But on top of that thought, we are tend to construct, prepare, add, proliferate. But this noble person, here Buddha specify that he is rid of that mental constructs. He does not enter upon mental constructs. On the other hand, he is a person who doesn't involve with conceptual proliferation, fantasization. So that is completely free in his mind. So he is free from conceptual proliferation. So that is where sometimes the Nibbana is named as Nippapancha, complete the calming down of conceptual proliferation. So therefore the definition that Buddha gave for an Arya, a noble person, is very interesting here, where he has cut off all the influxes and the attachments, and there is no rebirth, and all three kinds of perceptions he has overcome, and there are no further mental constructs, and he is the Arya, he is the noble person. And now Buddha is answering the Charanava, the person with the good conduct, who has done the thing, who has well conducted. Yo idha charanesu patti pattu kusalo sabbada ajanati dhamma sabbattana sajjati vimutta citto patigha yassana santi charanavatso. Yo idha charanesu patti pattu kusalo sabbada ajanati dhammam sabbattana sajjati vimutta citto patigayasana santi charanavaso. So different aspects actually here Buddha highlights. So charanesu patti patto. Now there are actually, with respect to Buddha, probably we all know that the vijja charana sampanno. So that is one quality attributed to the Buddha. So vijja charana sampanno. He is the person who accomplished in the vijja, that means the knowledges, and the charana. So we can call the well conduct. One here accomplished in good types of conduct. So what are the good types of conduct? So actually there's a list, 15 points typically mentioned with respect to the good conduct. Starting with the sila, that is, one is good in one's morality, and then one know the exact amount of the what we call the bhojana, bhojane mattanyuda, the proper, knowing the proper amount and the proper nutrition, and he's moderate in eating, and then the what we call jagaryanoga, we are constantly awake, well aware of what's going on in one's mind, fully awake. And another part is the saddha, the there are seven, actually another seven parts actually Buddha highlights in certain places. So likewise, altogether there are, and including the jhana, four jhanas, altogether there are 15 qualities Buddha highlights. So they are the charana, the good conduct that one has to continue. Actually they have to be conducted. Conducted in the sense one has to live in that, one has to practically involve in that, one has to develop them as skills. It is not mere book knowledge, it is not mere superficial names or theories, but one has to conduct oneself in those qualities. And yo idha charanesu patti patto kusalo sabbada ajanati dhamma. one here accomplished in good types of conduct, always skillful, who has understood the Dhamma. Sabbattana sajjati, and he is not tied anywhere. And as a result of that, he is liberated. He is not tied anywhere. Now there is no grasping, there are no entanglements, there are no bondages, so there are no ties. Sabbattana sajjati, so there is no any kind of delight that coming through the defiled state of mind. Vimutta chitto, his mind is fully liberated. Patigayasa na santi, there is no any aversions in his mind. Santi charanavaso, so he is the well-conducted person. Now we can say each of these verses actually introduce very interesting spiritual qualities that one needs to develop. So these are not mere superstitious statements, rather these are something that we need to develop within our hearts. We can't say that we can do everything immediately, but this is the path that Buddha is showing to the sabhiya. So he is to some extent given up his typical mundane life, that now he is already an ascetic. Now Buddha is telling him the path, so what else he needs to do? What are the other qualities that he needs to develop? So now the answer charana is given, and now we can go to the other one. Dukkha vepakkang yadatti kammang uddhang ado tiriyang vapi majji paribhaja yetva parinyachari mayang mana mathopi loba khodam pariyantaka makasi namarupang tam paribhajaka mahu patti pattanti. Now actually Buddha is introducing who is the paribhajaka, a good wanderer. Dukkha vepakkam yadatti kamma. Now we know that different kinds of kamma which may provide suffering. Now this person actually has avoided all that. So whatever the kamma there is that ripens in suffering, above, below, or across, in the middle, having avoided it, a practitioner of full understanding. Now a person who, in a way, we can call him an arahant, who has done the kamma khaya, he has ceased the kamma. Now no more accumulation of new kamma to him. So he has penetrated the kamma. Actually the kamma nirodha is nothing but the Noble Eightfold Path. So how one can achieve the kamma nirodha, cessation of kamma, is true by developing Noble Eightfold Path. By developing Noble Eightfold Path, now he no more generates new kamma. Dukkha vepakkam yadatti kammam uddhang ado tiriyang vapi majji. Now either they are with respect to the upper, that means say celestial realms, or the lower, that is the hell realms, or tiriyang, that means the human realm. So all whatever the kamma pertaining to any of these realms, now he has completely ceased. For him there is no new accumulation of kamma. And Parinyachari. Now he is a knowledgeable person. He is with full understanding. And now Buddha further talks about certain defilements that he has overcome. He has terminated mayang, mana, matha, and loba, and koda. Now certain very subtle and some difficult defilements here highlighted. Maya. So maya means kind of a hypocrisy. So he has certain defilements, but he don't want to show it. He shows something else. He shows that the outside, that he is like a saint. So that's a kind of a maya. Maya. The term maya, sateya, goes together. So one can hide oneself. One can hide one's own bad qualities. and one can show off what is not available within oneself. So these are very subtle defilements which can overwhelm the mind. So as a result of that, one is not showing one's true nature and one is not open, but rather kind of a cunning behavior. So that this particular person has overcome. And then there is no conceit, the mana, that also has overcome. And lobha, the greed, and the kodha, the anger, and that he has overcome. And further, a subtle aspect here, Buddha highlighted us, pariyanta makasi namarupa. Now he has make an end to name and form. That we know in the mind, so when the consciousness establishes, namarupa is a must. Name and form is a must. When name and form is available, the consciousness, the vijnana, get entangled with it. Now they start a kind of a whirlpool. Now they are helping each other and kind of going through a cycle. And that actually generates a certain amount of momentum so that the next condition phenomena going to arise. So as a result of this condition phenomena, say that then salayatana arise, then that means the sense base, six sense bases arise, now the contact arise, that conditions the feelings, that conditions the craving, that conditions grasping, that conditions becoming, and that conditions one is born to a new state, kind of a becoming process, and now one's ultimately get get into suffering. Now that whole parisamuppada, the dependent nature, is kind of started at the very early stages as a kind of a whirlpool between consciousness and the name and form. Now if one is able to overcome name and form, if one's mind is utterly clear, so that means his mind is, consciousness is unmanifested. His mind, the consciousness is not entangled with any kind of name and form. So the consciousness is fully, what we call is as the unestablished, apatittita, and unmanifested, what we call as anidassana, where there is no name and form. So it is now very clear, kind of transparent. So its vision is not blocked, hindered by the name and form. And on the other hand, we can say the net of name and form couldn't catch the consciousness. The consciousness is not entangled within the name and form, the net of name and form. So the name and form has completely overcome. So that is actually a very subtle point here Buddha highlights. So how one's mind become very clear, completely purified. And paribhajaka mahu pattipantanti. Now he is the accomplished wanderer. For him there is no any hindrance, there is no any kind of a barrier, and there is no any obstacle. He is wandering towards the Nibbana, he is wandering towards the end of the suffering. He is the supreme kind of wanderer. Now these are the answers that Buddha has given. Now Venerable Sabhiya was fully happy and he is delighted, rejoiced in the Buddha's words. And he rose from his seat and arranged his upper robe over one shoulder, and he reverentially saluted the Buddha. And now he is praising the Buddha with a series of further verses. Yanicha tini yanicha satti satti samanappave samanappava tasitani bhuri panya Sankara sanya nisitani osaranani vineya oga tamagu oga tamaga. Now basically here Venerable Sabhiya highlights that there are typically 63 kind of proclamations, different views of the ascetics. Now Buddha has overcome all of them. Buddha didn't entangle in any of those 63 wrong views. So he is now praising the Buddha. Now you are with a a very deep, broad wisdom, bhuripanya. You are the broad wisdom. And so you are able to cross the floods. Typically the defilements are sometimes represented as floods, auger. So those auger, karma auger, bhava auger, avijja auger, and sometimes at the ditti auger as well. So those floods of defilements now you have completely overcome. So different kinds of perceptions, labels, that also you have overcome. So basically that conceptual proliferation completely overcome. And so now Sabi is actually praising the Buddha in this way. Antagusi paragu dukkhasa arahasi samma sambuddho kinasavantam manye jutima mutima pahuta panyo dukkhasatta karang ataresima. Now here he recognized the Buddha. Now it is not that Buddha merely has given the answers superficial way. Now all the qualities that he has included within these verses as the answers that he is given to Sabiya, so he is well embodied with them. So that somehow Sabiya has touched, Sabiya understood that he is not merely talking by book knowledge. He is not simply talking by asking from someone, learn from someone. Rather, he has completely internalized all these good qualities. So that is how he is answering the questions. So Sabiya understood that. So he is now attributing all those aspects to the Buddha and praising the Buddha. Actually, through the Dhamma, he understood the Buddha. Yo dhammam passati, so mam passati. So through the Dhamma, he understood the Buddha. Now he is therefore praising the Buddha. You have reached the end, gone beyond suffering. You are an arahant, perfectly enlightened. I think you are one whose influxes are destroyed. Luminous, intelligent, abounding in wisdom. In make of suffering, you led me across. Now Sabiya was with lot of entanglements, lot of perplexities, lot of doubts. And he went to various teachers but he couldn't make the answers. So he is with lot of perplexities. But now by the answers of the Buddha, so he is now saying, so you made me across, you led me across. Now he is recognizing Buddha, Samma, you are the Samma Sambuddha. I feel that you has completely overcome influxes, and you are a luminous person, an intelligent person, and your wisdom is abundant. Yamme kanki tamanyasi vichikichamang tarayi namo Muni mona patesu patti patta akila adichya bandhu soratosi. Now we can see that sorata is actually one term that Buddha introduced as an answer to the Sabiya. Now Sabiya is attributing that to the Buddha himself now. When you understood my perplexity, you led me across doubt. Homage to you. O Muni, accomplished in the ways of Munihood. Not barren, kinsman of the sun, you are gentle. Now Sorata is the gentle. Now kinsman of the sun is a synonym given to the Buddha. Aditya Bandhu. Yame kanka pure asi, tangme byakasi chakkuma, addha munisi sambuddho, Natti nivara na tava. Where previously I was full of perplexity, you answered me, one with vision. Surely you are a Muni, an intelligent one, enlightened one. For you there are no hindrances. Now he understood the Buddha. Now this is very interesting. Actually, it is not that Buddha highlighted himself or Buddha tell that I am the Buddha. Rather, through the Dhamma, how he is explaining the Dhamma, giving the answers. Now Sabiya thoughtfully understood, now this person is a very intelligent person. He is an accomplished person. He is a person who is completely liberated. He is the Sammasambuddha. Now through the Dhamma he is slowly understanding the Buddha. And now he understanding and saying that surely you are the Muni. You are fully enlightened. And there are no hindrances to you. Upayasa cha te sabbe viddhasata vinali kata siti bhuto dhammappattu dithima saccha nikkamu. Upayasa cha te sabbe. So different kinds of anguish, despair. So all those states of anguish have been dispersed and cleared away. And your mind has now become cool, quenched. And your mind is tamed. Dhammappattu. Dithima. And your conduct is steadfast. Saccha nikkamu. With truth as your endeavor. So you are going through the truth and you have become the truth. So you have attained the truth. Tassate naga nagasa mahavirasa bhasato sabbe deva devanu modanti ubho narada pabbata. Now this seems to be some kind of a belief that Narada and Pabbata seems to be different clans or different devas. And now Sabiya say, all the devas rejoice in your teaching, including both Narada and Pabbata. And he is addressing Buddha as a Naga, a tusker. And you are a hero. And basically he is praising the Buddha. Namote purisajanya, namote purisuttama, sadeva kasmin, lokasmin, natite patipuggalu. Now he is now paying respect to the Buddha, homage to you, thoroughbred of men, homage to you, supreme among men. In this world, together with its devas, you have no counterpart. So you are asama sama, or there is no patipuggalu. So you are appatipuggalu. So there is no anyone who can surpass you. Tuang Buddho, tuang Satta, tuang Mara Bibu Muni, tuang Anusaye Chetva, Tinno Thare Simmang Pajang. You are the Buddha, you are the teacher, you are the Muni, the conqueror of the Mara. Having cut off the latent tendencies, crossed over, you led this population across. Now he actually deeply understood how Buddha has purified himself in a way. So he is now praising with that purification. So tuang anusaye chetva. So you have overcome all the latent tendencies. And you are able to conquer the Mara. And you are the supreme teacher. Tinno Tharesi Mam Pajang. And you are actually now leading the population also across. Now you are a Sammasambuddha. Now you are teaching so that the others also can cross over. Upadite Samatikkanta Asavate Padalita Sihosi Anupadano Pahina Bhayabheravo. So now further Sabiya says, you have transcended the acquisitions, you have sundered the influxes, you are a lion without clinging, you have abandoned fear and dread. Now we know that lion is typically considered as the most powerful creature in the forest. So there is no any bhaya, there is no any fear in him, within it, when he is wandering, when he is living in the forest. And like here Buddha, the Sabhya is also attributing that quality to the Buddha, that you are like a lion. There is no any fear, there is no any dread in you. And again you have sundered influxes and you have transcended the acquisitions, upadhi. So, upadite samatikkanta. So, we sometimes recognize ourselves using various acquisitions. Say we have our education, we have our name, we have our identity card, we have our positions, we have our children, we have our job, or we have our qualifications, etc., etc., using which actually we prepare a self. We attribute a person. By penetrating them, by cutting off them, by transcending them, basically that means upadipatanisarga. So you have basically relinquished all those acquisitions. So the mind is no more attached to anything, and you are not recognizing with any, or identifying with anything. As a result of that, you have attained Nibbana. One has attained Nibbana. Sambhupati Patinissagga is a synonym for Nibbana. So when one is able to transcend all the acquisitions, that means he has attained Nibbana. Pundarikam yatha vandu toyena upalimpati evam punye cha pape cha ubhaye tvam na limpasi pade veera pasarehi sabhiyo vandati sattuno. Just as a lovely white lotus is not tainted by the water, so too you are not tainted either by merit or by evil. Extend your feet, O hero. Sabhiya pays homage to the teacher. Now Sabhiya is now paying respect, and he is further telling that you are like a white lotus, that you have come out of the tainted world, and you are not being touched by the merit or demerit, merit or evil. And so he is now respecting the Buddha, accepting him as the teacher. Now after doing that, so he is asking to go forth under the Buddha and asking the higher ordination from the Buddha, and then Buddha has given him the higher ordination, and after some time he became fully enlightened. He has become a fully enlightened arahant. So basically we can say how Sabhiya approached, how a very deep discussion has gone through, and through the discussion, through the Dhamma, how Sabhiya understood the Buddha, and he accepted Buddha as the supreme teacher, and now he wants to go forth under him, and after going forth he attained the arahantship. Now this is how the sutta ends. So we can summarize telling that during the Kassapa Buddha's time, there were 5 monks who want to dedicate themselves for fully practice, but only two of them were able to accomplish during that Buddha's time, but 3 of other monks couldn't do anything. But within this Buddha's time, during the Gautama Buddha's time, all 3 are able to accomplish what their goals. So Sabhiya is one of them, Bahya Dharuchiri is another person, that the Pukkusati is the other monk, the other person, and all 3 are able to attain Nibbana. Now with that, actually I like to conclude the Sabhiya Sutta. So we have spent I think around 5 sessions in this Sabhiya Sutta, and now I like to open the session for questions.
So if we have anyone joining us for the first time, you can participate in the Q&A by raising your hand, or you can also submit them via the chat.
You have anything? Yeah. Okay. There's a question from our side.
Somewhere I didn't see the verse. I'm not sure. It was one of the first verses that we Let's see. One of the first verses that you covered, Bhante, was there's reference made to the influxes,
mm-hmm.
and then also another translation calls them the taints. I have two translations here. What are those specifically?
Asavas.
Asavas.
Asavas are kamasava, bhavasava, avijjasava, and sometimes introduced dittasava as well. Typically, it is called three types of asavas or four types of asavas. Actually, we can include dittasava also within the avijjasava. In such case, it becomes three. So basically, kamasava means the influx with respect to the, you know, the sensuality. Sensual desires and all that comes under the kamasava. And then bhavasava, that means to the existence, to becoming process. So that kind of an inclination that one's mind is having for any kind of a becoming, to live in a particular place, to live in a particular realm and all that comes under the bhavasava.
Moving towards things, activity.
They are deeply rooted type of tendencies available in the mind.
Okay.
So that is very closer to the anusayas, latent tendencies, and they are very much like impediments within the mind.
Okay, but so they're more subconscious.
Exactly.
Okay.
Basically, we can say that certain potentials available in the subconscious. Even at the conscious level, the mind is appear like clean, till we have that fetters, or rather the taints or the asavas, influxes available in the mind, we can't say I am completely purified. So that is the finding of the Buddha. Now, say for example, through the samatha practice, even one can overcome the hindrances. One's mind can be taken to a very pure level. But that doesn't guarantee that he may not ever get any kind of defilement. Mm-hmm. Say for 1 hour, he can maintain his mind in a very uplifted mood, very uplifted level. But that doesn't give a message telling that he's a completely liberated person. For the next moment, or after, within the evening or next day, he may get fully corrupted. Yeah. Again, he may get angry. Again, his mind get lustful. So that's the issue.
Yes.
So that till one is able to overcome influxes, that's why Buddha say you can't be satisfied. You can't step yourself, or you can't pat yourself. Okay,
yes.
I'm done. You can't say like that.
Yes. So yeah. They start the four types of asavas start with sensual, touching, seeing, hearing.
Yeah. So whatever the desire that we have to all that sensual objects.
Yes.
So that kama chanda and that sensuality related all the influxes comes under the kamasava.
Yes.
And then the bhavasava is where we want to continue ourselves, so we want to exist further and further, we need to live further and further, I want to become a deva, I want to become a brahma. So likewise, we always have that desire to become,
okay.
Exist. So
yes.
That comes as the bhavasava.
Mm-hmm.
And the avijjasava is where we don't have understanding about the Four Noble Truths, in short.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the avijjasava.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they introduce dittasava also, influx of views, wrong views, but typically we can consider that also within the avijjasava. Another part of avijja, ignorance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We have a question here from Sam. Sam, you may unmute.
Yeah, Bhante, thank you for the Dhamma teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question on the definition of Arya.
Uh-huh.
I think in the Sutta, it said Arya meant Na upeti gabbaseyam. That means someone who is not seeking, gabba.
Yeah.
Whereas typically we use phrases like Arya Magga, Arya Sagga, who are on the path to Arhatthood. Whereas if you say Na Upeti Gabbaseyam, that refers to Arhans. Am I right or am I wrong in this?
Yeah, correct. Actually, now here, in the one interesting feature of what we call the Sutta Nipata, is where Buddha highlights mainly the Arhant. He doesn't highlight much about the other nobles, where he gives more emphasis on the full enlightenment. So most of the suttas, Sutta Nipata is like that. So actually we can say during the early stages of the Buddha, so he didn't much stop at the level of the Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, but completely want all his followers to become Arahants. But later as his sasana develops, so many other people also get into the sasana, and they didn't have the same caliber, the same capacity as the previous monks, previous followers. Now people are coming with different potentials. Now they are able to attain Sotapan, they are able to attain Sakadagami, they are able to attain Anagami. Now Buddha is explaining those information as well. Now in the Sutta Nipata, basically the aim is very much the Arahantship. So the answers are fairly very much confined or very much explaining about the Arahantship.
Okay. So it's more directed to Arahanthood.
Exactly.
That's what I'm understanding.
Correct, exactly.
Right.
So Chetva Asavani Alayani, yeah. So here the Ariyoti, yes.
Okay, but in general usage, when we say Arya Magga or Arya Savaka, it could mean someone who is seeking the final goal on the path, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, thank you, man.
Does
anyone else have any other questions? It doesn't seem like there's any more on our side, Bhante.
Okay, then fine. So we have spent actually 1 hour, and today actually we have concluded the session, the sutta. So with that, then we'll conclude the sutta teaching session. So whatever the merits that we have accrued, we'll share with all the celestial beings, all the past relatives, and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavatachamhehi sambhatam punya sampadam Sambe deva anumodantu sambha sampatti siddhya Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam Sambe bhuta anumodantu sambha sampatti siddhya Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam Sambe satta anumodantu sambha sampatti siddhya Akasattha ca bhummatta deva naga mahildika Punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam Akasattha ca bhummatta deva naga mahiddika Punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu mamparam Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo
Satang samagamo hotu
yava nibbana pattiya Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.